You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what if you could get laser eye treatment and go from brown to blue eyes? Would you do it? We talk with a guy who's visited every single country on the planet. I bet you have questions for him. Plus, yet another strange use for vending machines. Get ready to load up. Let's meet the friends. She's back after several days of explaining to TV viewers what snow is. Erin Myers is here.
Hello. Yeah, did a Lifetime movie affect the outcome of a convicted murderer's punishment? I'll tell ya.
He's sweet, chewy, and difficult to explain why people love him so. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here.
Thank you, Phil. Hey, good news. We have arrived at the pinnacle of human achievement. I will tell you what that is coming up.
And lock up your babies. It's Chris Martin.
One of the most elegant woodland creatures on the planet has decided to give up its leafy green diet and join the ranks of the bloodthirsty carnivores.
All right, good. That's scary stuff to think about right now. This hour is sponsored by NHL Game Center Live. Sign up to watch hockey live or on demand on your favorite device. Never miss a slap shot, check, or save from any team you choose. Get extra camera angles and multi-game views. And watch every out-of-market game live on your device for less. Plus, when you get started with NHL Game Center Live for as little as $24.99, you actually support this show. We thank you for that. Head over to philhewlettandfriends.com right now and click on the NHL Game Center Live link. You'll see it. It's very clear at the top right of the website. Thanks again for doing that. All right, we'll get things started now. Erin, welcome back. Snow.
Thank you.
The TV folks just love showing snow. You stand in it and you hold up a handful of it in your glove and you say, it's snowing.
Yes, they
do. What else is there to the report?
There's really not much. You kind of stretch it out a little bit and you talk about how much snow has fallen and will it continue and drive safely and bring those chains.
And is the world ending?
Yeah, no, it wasn't ending. They just like the pretty pictures, though, because we don't see it that often here.
Did they make you lay down and do the whole snow angel thing?
I did the snow angel twice, actually, yes.
Oh.
I tried to improve on the snow angel each day because I feel like you have to offer something.
Can people
new.
Come up with some other character? Is there anything else we can carve out in the
oh,
snow?
Oh, yeah.
With arms and legs?
I do the snow amoeba is my favorite.
Ah.
Oh.
Just fall in the snow
like
and
that.
Flop around.
There you
yeah.
go.
Snow amoeba. Yeah.
A snow snake, maybe, too. You could kind of slither.
Oh, that would scare people.
Oh, yeah.
Go back and, like, show it and start, like, a whole viral conspiracy that there's a giant snow snake.
A snow snake. Yeah. Be careful on the mountain.
All right, let's get off of this and on to the real big story
yes.
today. This is huge. Everybody loves a hot mess, and Jodi Arias probably is the queen of that. Is she
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, if you remember, she was convicted of killing her lover, Travis Alexander. That was in 2008. And it was very vicious. I mean, shot him, slit yeah. his throat. Very, very vicious.
Jodi well, said it was all an accident, though. Right?
Yes, it yeah. was an accident.
Whoops.
It was, you know, she had been abused, things like that. That's what she had said. So, anyway, jurors, apparently, they were deadlocked today on the death penalty. 11 were in favor of it. One person was not. So she will now get life in prison, either with a possibility of parole or not. That's up to the judge. But apparently 11-1. And one of the jurors says he thinks that the holdout, the female, was because she saw a Lifetime movie on Jodi Arias. And maybe what was portrayed in the movie is different than what she saw in court. And they think that that actually could have played a role. And she thought that apparently that juror thought it was like revenge. So didn't want to vote
so
the for
judge,
the death penalty.
The judge didn't lock up the jury in a hotel and say, don't watch any TV or read any newspapers.
Yeah, I don't know how she saw it, actually. It doesn't say. That's just their opinion that she had
yeah,
said. I saw tidbits of it.
Yeah.
So
how did anybody see it? It's on Lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the takeaway here. Somebody,
yes.
There is somebody that watches Lifetime.
Oh, is that? That's,
I love my Lifetime.
That's a TV network?
Don't knock
that's a channel?
It. Oh, yes. Oh. It does horrible movies that are fabulous to watch.
Okay. In November and December, the ratings are through the roof.
Yeah. Well, is she going to get Jodi Arias when she's in jail? Will she get a reality show from her cell?
The Jodi Arias cell block? Maybe. You never know.
That
with
could
her.
Be fun.
She's done interviews. She's kind of stayed quiet recently, but she was enjoying all the publicity originally.
Well,
that's
she may
sure.
never get out. But somebody
no.
who is going to get out of his jail cell is going to pursue life on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
Runway.
We've talked about that hot convict, Jeremy Meeks, a few times. He's the one who's really good looking with the blue eyes and Well, apparently he has decided after he gets out of jail, he's going to be in there for 2 years. He has already signed with an agent, and he is going to pursue modeling. And he says he wants to get his life, as you said, on the straight and narrow and take care of his family.
Oh.
So he is going to be a supermodel maybe after he gets
good
out of jail.
Good for him. He's paid his price to society, and he has rehabilitated his life.
Yes, or he's trying to while he's in jail. And he says he does lots of push-ups, pull-ups, dips, burpees to stay active so he'll be fit when he gets
burpees?
Out of jail.
I thought burpees is something they left in the 1970s, junior high.
Oh, they've made
you
a
still
comeback.
Do burpees?
Oh,
I don't even know what a burpee is.
You don't know what a burpee is?
You stand
I thought
up.
It's what you do to your kid when
you squat.
Yeah, I don't exercise, so I don't know what
here's,
this is.
Let me explain it if I can, and Aaron, you check me on this.
Okay.
You be my burpee buddy.
I do burpees, so.
All right, so you stand up straight. You squat, put your hands on the ground, you know, on either side of your legs. Then you thrust your feet backwards so you're in kind of a push-up position.
Oh.
Then you do a push-up. Then you bring your knees back up to your chest. You stand up, and for advanced, you do one jumping jack, and then you start over, and you keep doing that until you die.
Well, that sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I was
going to
say,
is that accurate?
One.
Is that an
pretty
accurate description
yeah,
of a burpee?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah. And they use a lot of – it's used in a lot of, like, cross-training type of exercises, I would say.
Right. You strap, like, 5 pounds around your ankles and do it that way, too, and it makes it even harder.
Or you use those BOSU balls, and you hold those above your head, and you add a shoulder press, and then it adds a little weight to
the shoulders,
I was treated
for that
too.
Once. All right, so moving on, Gonzo,
if you get a shot.
Gonzo, we know that you are a lover of the culinary arts, and
Yes. So
this story comes right out of that file, am I correct?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, you're either in one camp or the other on this one. There's no gray area. There's no in-between. When it comes to peeps, because Easter's coming up, so we're going to be invaded by those little chickeny things, whichever they are.
Peeps love the peeps.
Yeah, well, they have come up with Peeps-flavored milk.
That's not yummy.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't like Peeps-flavored peeps.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that just sugary, marshmallowy milk?
Marshmallowy, yeah. They've come out with three different flavors of the Peeps-flavored milk. There's chocolate marshmallow, there's marshmallow, and Easter eggnog, which may have potential with whiskey or rum, perhaps. I'm not sure. But
just be like duck, bunny, and chicken flavor?
Ew.
Each cup packing a whopping 37 grams of sugar. But the upside is a couple of them come with reduced fat milk, so clearly they're good for you.
At least they're lower calories there.
Lower calories, but just plenty of sugar.
Yeah, so we don't have any fans of the Peeps in the room here?
No.
Nope.
No.
Doesn't look like it.
I don't get it. I mean, I like sweet stuff.
They're cute to look at, but not to eat them.
Yeah.
Something you should know, they are highly flammable. Don't
ask me that makes you want to eat them even more.
let's light them and shoot them out of cannons.
That just explains spontaneous combustion right there. We've always wondered how that happened.
All right. Peep
all around Easter
cocktails.
Time, people just bursting into flames.
They ate a peep.
Yeah. Mala peep cocktails. Yeah. All right. So, Greg, tell us about this this new ophthalmic advancement that they're not doing here in the United States yet, but if you find a guy down a dark hallway, perhaps in Baja, California, you can get your eye color changed? How does that work?
Yeah, fairly. That sounds like a good reason to go visit TJ, right? Yes. Yeah, so 17% of the world's population has blue eyes. Not a very large percentage. So if you're walking around with brown eyes and you want to be all, you know, what, Paul Newman or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a guy that's now using a laser to eliminate the brown melanin that's present in the anterior layers of the iris. So he says it's a low-powered laser that just, you know, gets rid of that and just lets the light through.
Well,
so then now
fascinating.
You have blue eyes.
Mm-hmm. Now, his have you checked his qualifications?
he insists it's safe. It doesn't have the, you know, U.S. Seal of approval yet, but 17 patients in Mexico and 20 in Costa Rica have undergone the treatment. And
survived?
I guess it's all good.
they still have eyeballs.
Yeah, they can still see. Right. Well, Aaron,
like when
Aaron
laser
Myers
came out,
here.
They started using it for all sorts of things maybe they shouldn't.
Aaron Myers and Chris Martin, both in this room, have something like blue eyes. And Aaron, yours kind of changed. You have a greenish glow coming out of them today.
Yes, they do. Based on what I wear, if I'm in a good or bad mood, they change color. So it's like a mood ring almost, my eyes.
So how does it make you feel that all the other people who weren't blessed with the beautiful blue eyes, and they've got the run-of-the-mill brown eyes, because look, 80% of us have the brown eyes. I have brown eyes. How does it make you feel that people can just come over to your side with a quick, like a 10-minute laser treatment?
It's a little upsetting. And brown eyes are beautiful, too. So I think you should be happy with the eyes that you're given.
Yeah,
mine might
like
be pretty,
it.
But they don't see well.
I'm not a fan. Do you know how hard I had to work to get blue eyes, Phil? This was not easy.
No. How many burpees did you have to do?
Now, how many burpees did his parents have to do?
Just go get a little corrective surgery and they get it? It's just not fair.
It's just $5,000.
$5,000. That's it? Wow.
Stay out of the club, the blue eye club, you people with $5,000 and a proclivity toward taking huge risks with some guy who says, hey, I can do this. Give me your money. All right.
No problem. Shine a laser in my eye. I trust you.
Good luck with that. Up next on the program, you thought they were kind and flower-eating woodland creatures, but they are in fact flesh-eating monsters. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. If you have a product or a service, you know, you own a business, you should consider advertising on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Talk to the people out there in the audience for as little as $5. Find out how. Go to the Advertise With Us page at philhewlettandfriends.com and ask yourself, can I afford $5? I think you know the answer to that, my friend. Now get over there and do something about it, and let's increase your business somehow, some way, and we'll work together. Be one of the friends. And they're here today, Gonzo Gregg, Aaron Myers, and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We've got quite a show. In fact, Manny the movie guy is going to join us in the second half hour of the program, and then later in the second half hour, we will also talk to a guy who's been to every single country on this planet. And lots of bad things have happened to him. But he has a good sense of humor about it. Wait till you hear from him. That's coming up. And right now, however, I believe the human race is in danger. There is a whole group of animals that will rise up. And if we follow the trend that they are currently taking part in, at some point, they're going to knock on our front door. They will be armed with rifles, and they will take over our family and eat our children. Is that right, Chris?
That sounds like a pretty scary story right there. You know, I found this story and was for some reason deeply disturbed by it, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think about it. A group of field researchers in North Dakota caught several white-tailed deer literally eating little hibernating songbirds right out of their winter nests as they were hibernating in there.
Is it possible they were mistaking the eggs, or were they in eggs, or were they just
actual?
No, they were eating the birds.
Aww.
They were eating the birds.
Is
themselves.
It possible the deer are nearsighted and they thought they were just chewing on berries?
That is not the assumption that the researchers are now making. But it is interesting because we think of deer as these
like
graceful, slim, vegan creatures, and now we find out that they just walk up and eat these birds. The researchers had these nest cams on to watch these songbirds, and they thought they were going to see like badgers and foxes and squirrels come up and eat the eggs, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And instead, they caught these deer just nonchalantly snatching these living little nestlings right out of the tree and eating them. They're saying the assumption is that it helps supplement some malnourishments in their diet, like maybe some missing proteins and things like that.
Oh, it's like humans that eat chalk or dirt clods, that sort of thing, because somewhere they're missing that nutrient and plus they're crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's not Bambi. That's Bambo.
That's right. So do you think they're walking around? They're eating the bark and flowers and leaves and that sort of thing. And one deer says, "Hey, Bernie, anybody looking? Let's get a little snack. What do you say?"
Right. And you hear this little songbird. You know, he's just like up in the bush.
That's horrible.
And I think they were sleeping.
Humans.
But I think that what happens is, because this is the wintertime, don't forget, everything gets buried up, so all the flowers and berries that you're talking about aren't as readily available, so I think this might be an alternate source. Not the first time, by the way. In Canada, they put up these nets to study birds. They're called mist nets, and it'll gently grab them so they can study them. And the deer would just walk up to the struggling birds in the net and just start eating them out.
Well, you know what? If you're a fan of Darwin, and you know that the... You know there's a drought in a lot of places. So you've got one of those?
Yeah. A Darwin t-shirt? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know there's drought in a lot of places, and perhaps not as much foliage as there normally is. So you have the deer out there, and perhaps they're evolving. They're going through some kind of transition. And I just hope they stop with the little baby birds and don't, you know, progress after they get a taste for blood and flesh and start eating other animals. And eventually, who knows, we're going to have to worry about the deer becoming part of the predator nation.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
It is. It is.
Seen enough zombie and vampire movies to know
that. Quite a transition. Speaking of transition, by the way, Bruce Jenner may not be ready to take his femininity all the way, if you know what I mean. In Touch magazine says he already did his interview with Diane Sawyer, and he told her he's keeping his male equipment for now.
Hmm.
He wants to hang on to it a little longer.
Perhaps, yeah. But he will live with his life as a woman. He'll live as a woman, and he says his breasts have already grown to a B cup.
Good for him.
Wow.
And he's not stopping there. One source says that he desperately wants to go bigger and plans to get actual implants soon. And Bruce says he's still attracted to women, but sex isn't that important to him anymore. The interview with Grandma Diane will air sometime this summer on ABC. And so do you have a theory about this, Chris, about why he wants to hang on to it for a little longer?
Well, I was thinking it's like giving up a toy. You know, he's just not quite ready to give it up. He wants to.
You want to play with it a little longer.
Play with it a little bit longer before he has to officially put it on the shelf.
But you know what? If they remove it and they stick it in a box or something, a nice like a toy box.
Yeah. Or a jar with formaldehyde or something.
Well, formaldehyde.
I don't know. Whatever to preserve it.
To get it to the taxidermy guy, and then he can just take it out whenever he wants to and play with it.
Oh, goodness.
Or at least look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg, come on. You want to take this further?
Yeah, because I'm
just
sitting here in
silence
now.
You, man.
Wow.
Stay
cool. Wow.
Not exactly probably the way that goes. But when you talk to transgender people and that you talk to people who go through the full surgical process, sensitivity, of course, is an issue, and it's kind of not the same.
Yeah.
So that's a big issue for anybody who's
sensitivity is a key word, too. We were not being insensitive to transition and the life changes that Bruce Jenner is taking part in.
Hopefully,
right now.
He'll be very happy.
Okay, yes. Good. We're just trying
to
understand.
Are we apologizing?
No.
I think we're just trying to be funny.
Of course not. When I was a little kid, I do recall when the circus came to town, they would unload the train and then they would march the elephants from the train station all the way to the big top, wherever it was going to be. And sometimes it was right next to the train stop, but other times it would be a nice walk through the downtown area, a couple miles worth, and people would come out and see the elephants, tail in trunk, which I believe is the way they do it, right? And Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, was famous for this. But there's some changes when it comes to elephants at the circus, is there?
There are. By 2018, they're going to have removed all of the elephants from their circus shows.
No more elephants.
No more elephants. No. They said that because of, you know, public concern about animals and the way they're being treated, that was their decision to take the elephants out of their program. And they do have 43, 29 of them already are living in Florida at the Center for Elephant Conservation. Yep. And they're going to have all of them there supposedly by 2018. And scientists can research and hopefully preserve Asian elephants. That's the goal.
So they have a lot of elephants.
They do.
If it's going to take till 2018 to get rid of all of them. Well, they're not going to get rid of them. They're going to
phase them out slowly. Yes. So 13 of them are still going to be performing until then, and they'll slowly phase them out. And then they're all going to get to live the life, hopefully, on a big ranch.
Those elephants should talk to the white-tailed deer in North Dakota.
Elephants eat peanuts.
You want cannibal elephants?
Cannibal penis.
Yeah, right. You really want that?
Yeah, elephant can force the issue if it wants to.
Yeah, and they could just eat you whole, pretty much.
No,
yeah.
Gosh.
It's kind of a drag that, you know, because it is cool to see an elephant up close, mm-hmm. you know, or you know, because just it's awe-inspiring. And for most of us here in America, the only way we're going to see that is a zoo or a circus or something like that.
Right.
But there's no way that they can be treated humanely or have a decent existence on, you know, living in a train car and, you know, traveling across the country in a circus.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, seeing them up close is awesome. Seeing them ride a tricycle is even better.
Well, see,
wow. Squish the tricycle.
Yeah, we love the elephants. So this, now, first elephants, then they're going to have to get rid of the lions and tigers as well, because that's a
and you know what? Yeah, we'll be left with is the creepy clowns. That's all that'll be left.
Hey, yeah, especially I like the French clown best. Don't you?
I despise all clowns.
Yeah, yeah, right. Hey, you know what? One guy we all love, I think universally, is Tom Hanks. Earlier this year, there was a photo of him taking up two seats on the subway, right? What do we call that? The man spread?
Yes.
That's it. Man spreading, yeah.
Yeah, it started making the rounds. It went viral. Now he wants everyone to back off. He says, there were like 14 seats free on the train at the time, so all I was doing was relaxing on the train ride uptown. So, hey, Internet. Back off.
Ooh, testy.
Yeah. Tom Hanks gets a little nuts on us. All right. So, tell you what, a little something for everybody at the box office this weekend. Manny the Movie Guy joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're back, and welcome back to Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the jewel of the Coachella Valley, KMIR-TV's movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
The jewel of the desert, indeed. Guys.
Look at you. Always great to hear from you. Three movies opening this weekend, all interesting for various reasons, and can I say, was the best exotic marigold hotel screaming for a sequel, Manny? Really?
Great question. No, it absolutely doesn't. And this one is absolutely unnecessary. But let me tell you, though, the sequel is actually quite charming. You know, Dev Patel and company, including director John Madden, returned for the sequel, and why not? If the first one was a surprise hit, and if Transformers can do it, so can they, right?
Gosh.
This time, Sonny, played by Patel, wants to open a second hotel, but it's not that easy. Of course, bringing new blood and subplot is Richard Gere as a mysterious American visitor who can help Sonny realize his dream. The old chemistry we love from the first film is still intact. I enjoyed the banter between the two dames, Judi Dench and Maggie Smith, and the gorgeous cinematography is just, well, plain gorgeous.
Can we come out with a movie called The Two Dames?
The Two Dames. Yes, and there's actually a restaurant back in Missouri that's also called the Two Dames.
No kidding. Any good?
Yes.
What do they serve there? Soup?
Peanut brittle.
Oh, peanut brittle. Knock your dentures right out.
That's right.
The first one was cute, though. I saw
it. I liked the
first
one. Yeah.
You liked the first one.
I imagine Richard Gere walks in the door and some of those dames start purring like a cougar. Isn't that right?
Very good, of course. Yes. Yeah, it's you know what? The first one, as cute as it is, I mean, it's also predictable and formulaic. This one is the same as the first one.
Yeah.
But it's still charming, just because of the cast.
Yeah, you know what? Pack up and go home. What are you doing in India? That's what I say.
It's an adventure.
But they're British, and they love going to India.
I guess so. All right. You know, Manny, I'm a huge fan of the movie District 9, and I really have high hopes for the latest movie from that director, and it's called Chappie. And it seems like it's almost realistic if you follow what people are saying about the near future and robots and the role they're going to play in our lives. Have you seen it? Is it any good? What do you know about it?
Well, just like you, I love District 9. I love, love, love. It's one of my favorite films of, I want to say, 2008.
Okay.
But whatever happened to Neil Blomkamp since giving us the Oscar-nominated District 9, one of the best sci-fi movies in recent years, the writer-director has created a half-baked Elysium.
Mm.
Now the overplotted but underdeveloped Chappie.
Aww.
Just like District 9, though, Chappie is set in Johannesburg, and it still employs Blomkamp's kinetic action scenes, but the similarity ends there. But you're right, the artificial intelligence, it's fantastic. It's at the heart of the film. Robots are members of the police force in the near future. But when one police droid is stolen and given new programming, he becomes the first robot that can think and feel. And his name is Chappie. The premise, as you may have heard, is fine in itself. But Blomkamp goes philosophical on us, making an overbearing action film that gets lost in its own proselytizing. I love the great cast, though, but they also got lost in the shuffle, like Dev Patel. As an idealistic engineer, his nemesis, played by Hugh Jackman, and Sigourney Weaver is as the head of the weapons company. The biggest problem for me, though, is Chappie himself. Blomkamp fails to make him a captivating character that it's hard for us to relate. This film wants to have the grandeur of Wall-E, but ends up being a poor RoboCop.
Ooh, boy, that's ugly. Just, all right, nicely done.
The reviews, not the reviews, when I saw the preview, I instantly went, eh.
I was just hoping against hope it was going to be good. Here's a question for you, Manny.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world, with all the success that he's enjoyed as a movie star, does James Franco have to pretend that he has a younger brother and then he changes his name to be Dave Franco and stars in a movie with Vince Vaughn called Unfinished Business? That is James Franco, is it not? I mean, it looks exactly like him.
Yeah, but you know, between the two of them, between James and Dave, I actually adore, adore, adore Dave Franco.
Dave is an actual person. It's not.
He's an actual person. And he's smaller, way smaller than James Franco.
He's a mini James.
Yeah, and he's a sweetheart. And he's very down-to-earth, and I love him. And he's always good in his movies, but I can't say the same thing with Unfinished Business.
Uh-oh.
You know, if Chappie is an early matinee to save money, this one is just DVD or wait for it in your in-flight entertainment. Don't pay for it.
You wouldn't even theater hop to see this one?
No, well, if you want to, sure. Don't pay for this movie. Vince Vaughn plays a hard-working small business owner who takes his two associates, Tom Wilkinson and Dave Franco, to Germany for the most important deal of their lives. But then a sort of funny, sort of messy thing happened on the way to Europe. This is from director Ken Scott, who last worked with Vaughn in the also-not-too-funny Delivery Man. And really, honestly, why is Vince Vaughn still headlining comedy films?
That's the question. And he's funny, too. So what's going on? You know, I think he's a good actor and he's funny. Is it just bad casting?
He stopped being funny in The Wedding Crashers. And that's many moons ago.
He's the same in everything.
Yeah, I guess so. Huh? He's almost typecast. Yeah.
He plays the straight, quote-unquote, man. You know what I mean? And he can't. I don't know.
He's not bad in dramas. He should play in dramas.
Right. He's fantastic in Clay Pigeon, and I still love that movie. And that was from mid-90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this one feels well unfinished. The script by Stephen Conrad, who gave us The Pursuit of Happiness and The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, is not funny at all. So avoid this movie at all costs.
Well, thank you for the warnings today, Manny. I would have wasted a ton of money this weekend had I not heard from you first.
Yeah, my pick of the week is the second best exotic marigold hotel, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, all right. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Go visit the website, see his interviews. He does a wonderful job bringing out the best of these movie stars when he interviews them, and he's our movie guy, Manny the Movie Guy. Thank you very much.
And next week, we're gonna find you. You're gonna help me find my glass slippers in Cinderella.
Oh, Cinderella, love it. Can't wait. All right, Manny. Thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, imagine for a moment you've traveled to every country on this planet. Well, obviously, you have not done that, right? You'd probably write a book about it. But wouldn't you like to speak to someone who has done that and has written a book about it? You'll hear from the author of the book, Around the World in 50 Years, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I suspect we're going to have a fascinating conversation here right now, so I'm glad you've tuned in. When I was in college, my father used to tell me to see the world, which I always took as a euphemism for date a bunch of women before you settle down with just one. Our next guest saw a ton of women, and then decided to see the world in the literal sense. Former Playboy editor, world traveler, author of the book Around the World in 50 Years. See what I did there? Albert Podell is his name. Albert, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and don't leave the impression that I gave up on the women when I went to see the world.
Oh, no. Okay, fine.
That was just an added benefit.
Still seeing the world. Obviously, you were traveling the world while you worked at Playboy, because the math doesn't work out otherwise. When did you start your epic journey, and when did you decide you were going to make this a global effort?
Well, when I was 27, I was a co-leader of an expedition that drove around the world. We set a record for the largest automobile trip ever made. And then I wanted to go around the world from north to south by land. Nobody in the history of the world had ever gone around in a longitudinal direction, but I couldn't figure out any way to get the car across Antarctica. I tested it out, but the tires froze, the oil got slushy, just couldn't be done. And somewhere about 15 years ago, I said, let me see if I can go to every country in the world.
Yeah, this is something. The whole car thing, was it inspired by that? This is a cryptic movie reference. That old movie with Tony Curtis in it, there was a race around the world. Do you remember that movie? You probably saw it.
I not only remember the movie, but I did a lot of research on the race, and that was what inspired our drive around the world. In the old days, when they went around the world, they sort of took a Paris to Peking route, and we took an equatorial route when I led that expedition, and that enabled us to get more miles. And I just got kind of hooked on traveling. I love foreign countries, exotic cultures, weird foods, and I just love doing that. And I decided, you know, I couldn't find any Americans who'd been to every country in the world, and I said, well, let me go see if I can be the first one to do all the 196 countries.
Yeah, most Americans haven't left this country at all, and many of them have good reason. They watch the news. But you've alluded to this, and you've encountered things along the way that the tourist boards of various countries would rather not publicize, right?
Oh, for sure.
Give us a couple of examples.
Well, let's see. We were attacked by flying crabs in Algeria. We had to blow our way out of a minefield.
Wait a minute. There are flying crabs?
Flying crabs?
Well, I could not identify them. I've even went to the Museum of Natural History and asked them. They looked like crabs about the size of a small dinner plate. They're sort of gray and hairy, and they can leap up about 4 to 5 feet high and maybe spring forward about 20 feet, which is why I call them flying crabs. They're attracted to light at night, and they just came attacking us, biting us on the neck, and they were really ferocious.
Oh, man.
Yeah, see, where do they have
like
those?
Where
do we stay away from those?
Beach in Algeria, they had foot-long leeches. We jumped into the Mediterranean, and these leeches just sucked right onto us. There are a lot of bad guys out there. We had to blow our way out of a minefield in Morocco. Probably the worst. I came within literally 1 minute of being lynched in East Pakistan.
Oh, by a bunch of baddies, huh?
No, they were actually goodies. I turned out to be the baddie in their eyes. I heard that they were going to have an attack on the United States Information Agency, so I ran into this building across the street from the USIA to take pictures, ran up four floors, got out on the balcony, and two guys grabbed me. It turned out it was the Pakistan Ministry of Defense. It unfortunately turned out to be the day after they went to war with India, And they were sure I was an Indian spy. I mean, what else would I be doing running around their building with a camera? And they all started yelling, hang him, hang him, hang him. The janitor went, got a rope, threw it over the rafter, put the noose around my neck, and literally I was within a minute of being hanged.
And what? How'd you get out of that?
I think you got to read the book.
Oh, come on. Around the World in 50 Years. By the way, it's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. We do recommend that you get it. Were you ever at a point, perhaps that one, after that thing with the noose around your neck, where you just said, that's it. I don't need this. I'm going home.
No, it's, you know, Winston Churchill once said, the most thrilling thing in life is to be shot at and missed. And I kind of found out to be true. You know, I'm not really an adrenaline junkie, but there is a rush in, you know, getting into hairy situations and getting out of them. It's sort of like I'm actually in California right now. I'm a truckee. And if you saw the way I was skiing yesterday, like right on the edge of self-control, you'd understand my kind of life philosophy there.
Yeah, well, you're a thrill seeker for sure. I imagine, okay, forget about the noose around your neck, but which sites, which countries left the most indelible memories on you?
Well, it depends on what you mean. I mean, if you're talking, let's say, women, I mean, Belarus was kind of hard to beat. I mean, they're all 5'10" tall. They look like they work out 3 times a day, and they're magnificent.
Now, you said Belarus, right? How do you spell that?
You're going to buy a ticket now?
Yep.
Yeah, he's on his way. Chris Martin, he's always looking for the ladies, the Belarusian ladies or something else.
You know, some of the old temples in Cambodia and Thailand and India, they're just some amazing sites. I will say this, and I'm not a chauvinist, there is no country that has it all except the United States. I mean, we have the most... We really have the best. We have the most diverse culture, the widest range of foods, and really tremendous natural beauty here. I mean, nothing beat the United States.
Right, and if you try, you could get yourself into the same kind of pickles that you do in other parts of the world.
I probably could do that, but fortunately, I mean, I try to keep my nose clean here. My whole life, I've had only one traffic ticket.
Yeah, all right, but did your nose ever get runny? Did you get sick a lot while you were traveling?
I have not gotten sick, knock on wood, in 40 years. In fact, in addition to publishing this new book, Around the World in 50 Years, I have an e-book out called The Survival Manual for the Adventurous International Traveler, and it gives you all these tips on how not to get mugged and how not to get sick. And the main thing is don't drink the water. Don't drink the water. Don't let it get on your lips. If you're in the shower, keep an outward pressure. Don't brush your teeth with the water. Don't even rinse your toothbrush with the local water.
Yeah, makes sense. But you've got to eat, and I bet you've eaten some things. I keep thinking about the scene from that one Indiana Jones movie where they're passing around monkey brains and eyeballs and the fried tarantula and all that. Did you have to eat along the way, anything like that?
Oh, sure, yeah. In Hong Kong, we were the guests of some people, and we didn't want them to lose face, and they took us to the restaurant. Had a big round table, hole in the middle. Toward the end of the meal, the waiter came out with a monkey, put his head up through the hole in the table, pulled out a meat cleaver, hit him right across the skull, flipped his skull back, and the monkey's still alive.
Oh.
He gave a demitasse spoon, and they said, you know, just go dig right in, and you eat the monkey's brain. And they told me the monkey doesn't feel anything. They say if you're eating the brain, there are no nerve sensitivities.
Boy. Of course, nobody asks the monkey that question.
Nobody asks the monkey that question. He jabbered away for a few minutes, but I could not cause him to lose face. There were some things I ate that I thought would be terrible, but were really good. Like in Ghana, I ate rats. You would think a rat would not be something tasty. The flesh is like firm chicken. It's really good. And the rat tastes like wherever it's been. In other words, if it lived in, let's say, a sugarcane field, tasted sweet like sugar. If it lived in a pineapple field, tasted like pineapple. Now, I have not eaten any of the rats, let me make this clear, in the New York City subway system.
That could be different.
Hopefully they taste like pizza.
I assume they would taste like a combination of pizza, hot dogs, and Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, there you go. Somebody tell the mayor there's a solution coming. And you've seen so much of the world, and we're already talking solutions in the conversation here, but I suspect you've gained perspective on what the world needs to do to get its act together geopolitically, economically, environmentally, or otherwise. Am I right?
Well, I have some concepts, but whether they can implement it, I think the main thing that has to be done, there somehow has to be more income equality around the world. You can't have 50% of the money belonging to the top 1% of the people. And a lot of these jihadis that I've met, you know, these terrorists, they're actually not bad kids at heart. But they're hopeless. I mean, they're shunned by the communities where they live. They're at the bottom of the economic ladder. Unemployment rates are 25%. After 5 or 10 years of that, they just say, you know, heck with it. I'm going to go kill them.
So you think if somebody were to give them a regular living and some money, they wouldn't want a death to America anymore?
Yeah. If there was some way to spread the education and spread the employment around, a lot of the problems would disappear. I mean, not all of them, because, I don't want to sound anti-Muslim, but those people really, really seriously believe in their religion, and some of them take it to an extreme degree, and that I don't really know how to deal with.
Yeah,
you know?
And I don't think a lot of people have come up with a good concept on that yet. Oh, before we let you go, and I could talk to you for hours, frankly. Again, the book is Around the World in 50 Years. We're speaking with Albert Podell. He's the author. Tell us about the Podell potty paper rating.
Oh, okay. It's a pretty simple rating for telling you what condition economically and sociologically the country is in. And it's based on 7 ratings for the toilet paper available in the public restrooms. And it ranges from the highest, which is a number 1 grade, and that's for sort of soft, gentle white. And it goes all the way down through rough-colored, down to newspaper. And I think when you get into the number 6 ratings, there is no toilet paper. There's just usually a little bowl of water. And number 7 is no public toilets at all. And the only place that comes close to that is my home in New York City, I hate to say.
No toilets in New York City, or you're on the other end of the spectrum?
You try and find a public toilet in New York City and let me know how you do.
Oh, true. That is correct.
But other than Grand Central and Penn Station, they're hard to find, you know.
So if you find a public bathroom and they don't have the bowl of water, they don't have the toilet paper either, but they have a hose next to the toilet. Have you seen? You've seen those, right? Is that a 6 or a 7?
The one with the hose, it depends whether it's warm or cold water that comes out.
Oh, good answer. I like that. Again, the book, Around the World in 50 Years, fascinating stuff, and just an honor to speak with you, sir. Albert Podell, thanks for being on the show.
It's a delight. Thank you, guys.
All right, the book's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Now, do you want to travel, or you just want to go up the street and see what America has to offer?
I don't know. I would be I'd be ticked off if I went to all the countries and then you leave and they change the name. Like, do you have to go back and do a do-over?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't think we've sold monkey brains to the culinary audience.
No.
However, the rats, I don't know. I'm thinking rats. I'm thinking we might go there. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including how much control did Hillary Clinton have over her personal emails when she was Secretary of State? Plus, would you eat something called the churro dog? Wait till you hear what that is. Those stories and more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, we will figure out why your cable TV bill is so high. And how'd you like to buy a village? Oh, and one more thing to worry about. The return of the plague. The friends Woo-hoo! Are here. Yeah, cheer, kids. It's wonderful. It's fun. Aaron Myers, Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin, they're all here. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We'll jump right into this, and let's see. Where are we with you, Aaron? Oh, yes, there's a teacher who got in trouble for showing a particular movie to the high school kids.
Yeah.
How'd that go, and what was it?
Not well for her. She's a substitute teacher, and she was convicted of showing this film that included graphic sex and violence. And she was just sentenced yesterday to 90 days in jail, plus, I think, 3 years of probation. And
were they more angry about the graphic sex or the graphic violence?
I think it was pretty even on that one, 50-50. I'm going to say. Yeah, apparently the movie is called The ABCs of Death. So first of all, just the title, you should know better.
Wow.
And it's 26 chapters that depict some kind of grisly death based on the alphabet. So like E is for exterminate, O is for orgasm, and T is for toilet.
Wow. And
I don't get the O one. How do you die for that?
Well, it happens.
They find ways. But I guess
ask your doctor and make sure you're healthy enough for sex.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the stoner kids in the back are going, can we watch SpongeBob, dude? Come on.
Right.
Probably wouldn't have gotten in trouble.
By the way,
is
that advice ever considered seriously by men who ask their doctor if they're healthy enough for sex and the doctor says no? What do you think those guys do when they go home?
Well, doctor said I was fine, honey.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't think they listen, yeah.
All right, back to the movie. What else, Aaron?
Oh, just the fact the jurors said that the reason, you know, they convicted her was the fact that she says she didn't know what the movie was about. Well, she put it on 5 different times that day. So after the first time of airing it, she'd have known, oh, maybe this isn't appropriate. And then she
continued
to air it.
So hold on, you said she was an associate teacher, so that's like substitute teacher,
she's
right?
She's a substitute teacher, yes.
So she just rolls in, puts on a movie, and that's her teaching for the day.
Yes, it was. And she kept playing it over the next
adding
5 periods.
More credence to why high school students love it when this substitute shows up. Something good's going to happen, right?
It's movie day. Woohoo!
Yeah. And so you have a particular set of skills, Aaron, that you're able to find the creepy guys out there.
I found another one.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
What's he doing?
There's a guy in Japan who's an inventor, and he said he's trying to solve the problem he says, pillows are great for sleeping, but their conversational skills lack. That's what he's saying.
So pillows lack conversational skills.
Apparently.
How has he resolved that?
Well, he has made a talking pillow that verbally responds to the user's touch, and it looks like an anime female character, and it will say things like, it'll coo in delight about, falling in love.
Chris.
I can't help. I love you even more.
Your beard is so bristly.
Yes, that kind of stuff.
No wonder I didn't know what it sounded like.
Mm. Yes.
Never heard that before.
Also, though, if you grab at its parts, because it does look like a woman. So if you It has, yes.
Lady parts.
And if you get too grabby with it, it'll be like, hey, stop that. Not there. It hurts. So it's really creepy.
Yeah, you turn that part off?
I was going to say, can you make an easy version?
I don't know. It depends on how you treat the pillow. If you're nice to it, it's not going to say that.
What
if
happens,
you get a little rough, you're in trouble.
You got a pillow. You generally, before you go to bed, you fluff up the pillow a little bit.
Yeah, well, the pillow might not like it.
Pun intended.
And it's expensive, too. It's $167 for this, girlfriend pillow.
But it's a body pillow,
No, Aaron. How much?
$167.
Trust me, that is cheaper than a girlfriend.
It is cheaper than a girlfriend.
And
I will
cheaper than
that.
Cheaper than most good pillows.
And you probably could like take it to the movies with you. Everything.
Yeah.
Get comfy.
This weekend, Aaron, a lot of people in the United States, they're going to lose sleep because of something that Congress insisted we do every time.
The stupidest thing ever that we do. We do a lot of stupid things in America, but excuse me, daylight savings time, dumbest, pointless waste of time. Ever.
Get him,
yes.
Greg.
Yes.
Why? Why? Just why?
It gives the farmers an extra hour to plant their seeds.
No. Why do we do it? Why? I've heard the farmers thing. I've heard the saves energy thing. That's been debunked. Mm-hmm. There's no good reason for it. Why do we do it?
Bureaucrats love the power to make people do stuff.
Yeah. It always makes me nervous that I'm going to wake up at the wrong time if I have to work or something.
Now, Greg, if you go back into the congressional record and you pull up the original law, I believe you will find that it is called daylight saving time.
Oh, my God. Are you one of these people? Are you one of these people? You're gonna go there. You're going to take it there to the daylight
saving
time. Well,
look, my journalistic experience over the years, I can't tell you how many news directors have stormed into the newsroom and said, it is not daylight savings, it is daylight saving time, and I insist that you say it that way.
The AP-style book says, yes, saving, but what do we say? What does America say? We say daylight savings time. Mm. Does the message get to, am I communicating to you? The purpose of language is to connect, to communicate. Are you understanding what I'm saying, or are you going to quibble over the S at the end of savings?
I hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, and I do know that you were a lonely guy on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Valentine's.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. I love your passion for this subject, though, Greg.
There's nothing that drives me more crazy than this thing that twice a year we have to go around and readjust our clocks. And there's help that, like, there's more heart attacks. People that are prone to suicide want to kill themselves.
If you don't take a deep breath and a walk, young man, your hair's going to turn red.
That's the problem.
What? Red hair?
Daylight savings time.
Oh.
Well, or saving.
Yeah. All right. But you do have a story about people with red hair, do you not?
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
I took a shot.
You tried.
Now I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
You were seeing red and you forgot to follow the script.
There may be evidence that genetically people with red hair or redheads are actually genetically superior to those of us with brown or.
Come on.
This
is science?
Does it count if you were born like strawberry brunette? Or blondish?
No, I guess maybe you're redhead adjacent, perhaps.
Yes.
Here's the thing, because they always say red hair is a recessive gene, they say, you know, that what's the thing, that the redheads will die out because it's a recessive gene, right? But it's not going to be weeded out of the gene pool because there's no Darwinian reason for it to go away. It's not a maladaptive condition like nearsightedness or colorblindness or something like that, right? It's just you have red hair. So it's not likely to go away. And what they did, and we did some more research, was that typically a lot of redheads achieve a better level in business. In most cultures, redheads are almost universally considered more assertive, more confident, and capable. This proven, at least by a study by the University of Tennessee and another state college, found that redheads are four times more likely to be CEOs than your blondes and your brunettes.
Huh. Wow. Do you think it's because they got picked on when they were younger, so they felt they had to achieve more?
They had a thicker shell, and they were able
to...
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, made them tougher.
Maybe because they stand out so much.
Yeah, I love red hair. I think it's
There's also reproductive issues in terms of mating.
Yeah.
Men typically will not approach a redhead. They'll approach a blonde first, then a brunette, then a redhead. And not because the redhead is unattractive, but because of fear of rejection from the redhead, because the redhead is badass.
Yeah, they are full of themselves. You're right, Greg. You're right. It's like left-handed people. They just can't get enough of themselves.
What?
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Well, remember, you're only redhead adjacent, Aaron.
I know, but I'm a lefty, too. This is getting to be something here. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Don't let them know you're a lefty. Lead with your right in a fight, and then all of a sudden, bam.
Catch them with a southpaw.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. And now, Chris, over to you. While we're talking about catching people with the southpaw and the right cross or the left cross or the jab or the uppercut or all of that, boxing is back in a big way, is it not?
It is. It's back on primetime network television. It's called Premier Boxing Champions, and it's a new boxing series that's going to be displayed on Saturday nights. Matter of fact, the first one is this Saturday at 5:30 p.m. on NBC.
And so it's on regular television? You don't have to pay, $800 to Don King?
You do not have to pay for pay-per-view. You don't have to have a subscription to Showtime. This one's going to be on network television, and it's going to have Marv Albert and Sugar Ray Leonard calling the fight. The man Al Michaels will host, which, by the way, legend tells that Al Michaels is an excellent boxing commentator. And then ringside, you'll have Leila Ali and BJ Flores in the corners.
Yeah. You going to watch it? You a big boxing fan?
We'll see. I'll check it out. 5:30 on Saturday night's kind of a rough time for people that want to go out and have
In the day, back in the Muhammad Ali days, people used to watch boxing like crazy because the big matches didn't come up all that often.
Right, yeah. It was the sweet science, man. Howard Cosell will be out there.
And, yeah. And there wasn't a whole lot of TV to watch anyway. That's back
there
when
only three channels.
The wide world of sports was a big deal. You didn't have ESPN, and you didn't have all the action sports that we have these days. But there wasn't a lot to watch, and so the big heavyweight match, everybody would watch that. It'd be huge ratings.
Is it going to be like big, well-known boxers?
No, or you wouldn't know any one of these names. Not a person at this table or in this studio, barring maybe, I don't know, if we got a boxing fan in here, no one's going to know the names. They do have three major fights, though, and of these six guys that are going to be fighting, they have over 160 wins combined, a couple of them undefeated, so they're very, very talented guys. You just wouldn't know them if you heard their
names. That's cool that it's actually about the sport. It's not so much about the personality or the show.
Yeah.
Well, except for everybody around it. There's all these famous people involved who are...
And there will be famous people in the, in the seats watching the fights, too. You know, that's the other draw.
Yeah. All right. And we love watching the TV, especially the reality shows. At least the reality shows have been popular. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many of them. I mean, it's a proliferation of reality shows. But I think maybe I have the list of the all-time worst reality shows. Ooh. You want to hear the list next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, it's your favorite reality show that's not really a reality show. It's because it all happens spontaneously here on the program. None of this is pre-planned. There's no script. We just make it happen. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Aaron Myers, Gonzo Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin, we're all here living our lives in front of you. And there has been just a proliferation of reality TV out there. And some of the programs were just so terrible. It would be hard to settle on a list of the worst reality shows of all time. But Entertainment Weekly is taking a stab at it. They have a list of the 22 worst reality shows so far. And the list includes obvious stuff like Britney and Kevin, Chaotic.
I love that.
Remember that? You loved that show?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I did not.
For the Love of Ray J. Now, wasn't Ray J the guy that helped launch Kim Kardashian's career?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the sex tape, right? Mm-hmm. The Anna Nicole show, which was just a train wreck, was it not?
It was kind of interesting to watch, even though you feel bad for her. Yeah, it was. It was sad.
House of Carters. I don't remember that one.
Don't know what that is.
My Fair Brady. Yeah. There's also Skating with the Celebrities.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
The super drawn-out results show that American Idol and Dancing with the Stars used to do.
And we'll have the results
yeah.
right after this.
Yeah.
Plus the dating competitions, Outback Jack, where women competed for the love of an Australian cowboy / underwear model. Oh. Boy Meets Boy, the same-sex dating show where most of the guys were just pretending to be gay.
Oh, they weren't really?
That. It was just to get on TV.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Remember that Dating Naked show on VH1? That was last year. I Want to Marry Harry. Now, that was just brutal.
The fact that anybody fell for that still, like,
All the women,
they killed that after, like, three airings, right? Yeah.
After all the, you know, the women who supposedly were led to believe that they were competing for the love of Prince Harry. Right. Except that the show didn't really try to sell it, so no one bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So reality is the worst. Oh, by the way, did you see this picture of Prince? You know who Prince is, right? I think he's gone back to being Prince. He was the artist formerly known as Prince. Then he became Prince again.
Clank for a while. Yeah, he's just a symbol. Just Clank was his name.
He's 5'2".
He's 5'2". Okay.
He's diminutive. And apparently he was a basketball player in high school. The St. Paul Star Tribune, you know that Prince grew up in the Minneapolis area, tweeted a picture of Prince's old basketball photo from the 1970s, and then it went viral, and it landed somehow on our show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com if you want to take a look at it.
Prince is like 5'2". His fro is another 6 feet or so. It's pretty amazing.
It is, and he's got this. His head is cocked just a little bit. It looks like he's about to break out into the a refrain from Raspberry Beret.
It's amazing. It's really great.
Yeah, it is something. So go take a look at that. All right, so moving along, and there is so much to cover today. We just have so many delightful and delicious stories. And I hate when I'm driving past a wall or a building or something like that, and some coward has spray-painted their name misspelled or something like that on it. And the graffiti. I'm not a fan of graffiti. It's a big cowardly act.
Well, it's horrible. And I think you remember back in the day in Las Vegas, the mayor of Las Vegas said he wanted to cut off their hands, I think was going to be his punishment for people who did
graffiti. That'll stop
them.
I always thought that there'd be a good movie treatment to put out there with a vigilante who's had it with the graffiti. And he goes up along the side of the freeway and hides like bear traps in the ice plant and waits for the taggers to get caught in the bear track. Then he comes and he exacts his revenge on them while they're trapped.
There was a great scene in one of the Naked Gun movies. Remember, they had the anti-graffiti thing. They came up to the wall, and the wall started spray painting the graffiti guys.
I like that.
Remember that? Yeah. In Ecuador, they have a similar graffiti problem. Apparently, it's pretty out of control. There's graffiti everywhere. However, there's another team of graffiti artists, if you want to use that term, that go around and they correct and punctuate all the graffiti. That has, you know, it's misspelled. They correct misspellings. They put punctuation in. They put accent marks where
graffiti
they're supposed
grammar
to be.
Nazis. That's
they're grammar Nazis for graffiti, apparently. And until recently, they've been, you know, underground and only work at night. But recently, they've come out and given interviews, and they said that, you know, some of these messages actually might need to be heard because there's some obviously political problems in Ecuador. So. Yeah. They take the time to go around and make the message more legitimate by adding punctuation.
Wonder if that upsets the original tagger.
Mm-hmm. I know, you're messing with my art.
You think you're smarter than me? What if you had your own city, your own village, or something like that? You could probably control the graffiti problem a little better. Is it possible these days to even own your own place, your town, whatever?
You can rent one in Hungary, actually.
Really?
Yes, there's a small town in Hungary that I guess the mayor just announced that you can rent it to come stay there. And apparently they've had quite a few people interested in it. And it offers things like this. You get 7 guest houses that can sleep 39 people, a bus stop, horses, chickens, and farmland. And you can even rename the village and the streets while you stay there. And so there are people as far away as Australia, the U.S. have been booking it. And they said they're booked all the way through till August.
I imagine they have one psychotic mailman who lives in that city who every couple of weeks he's got to relearn the names of the streets and all of that.
Wait, not again.
Yeah.
Where did it go?
Yes. Right.
How much did you say it was?
It's about $760 a day. So not horrible.
There's some hotel rooms for more than that.
Yeah, you get your own town. I mean, it's not the cutest looking town, but it's still yours.
I don't recall if Hungary has entered the EU, but do you pay in euros or do you pay in whatever?
You pay in forints.
Forints?
Forints. So it's 210,000 forints.
not a valuable piece of currency there. $210,000 versus $760, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But kind of cool. You can have your own town. I would name it Aaronville.
Ah, I would visit.
Mm-hmm. There'd be animals everywhere.
Over the weeks and months and years now that we've been doing this program, we've been talking and revealing the details of just delicious ideas for new things to put in vending machines. We had the pizza vending machine, the burrito vending machine, several others. But now there's a completely different twist that we want to shoot out to you. And Chris, tell us about this new vending machine.
It goes to show you that you can really put anything in a vending machine. I mean, it's not just for snacks and fishing bait and marijuana. Now you can put gun ammo in a vending machine. And as a matter of fact, a 25-year veteran of the Pennsylvania Police Department has done that. He has retrofitted three vending machines to dispense bags of bullets from .22 to .45 caliber based on what your needs are for your gun.
For that moment. Yeah. I would expect this in Detroit, maybe not so much in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, but you know, someplace where you could use it.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it in the city of brotherly love.
Right, not so much.
Guy says he has gun clubs lining up outside his door for these vending machines. Of course, the opposers say kids and criminals are going to get their hands on this ammunition, but he says he looks at them like cigarette vending machines. He's going to put a sign on them that says you have to be 21 or over to purchase from this machine. Plus, they will be inside gun clubs that don't allow minors unaccompanied.
Oh, so it's like at the shooting range. I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So not just like at the bus stop.
Not on the corner.
Right.
Quick tidbit for you here. Women with bigger butts give birth to smarter kids. This
Thank
is
you,
science.
Mom.
Supposedly, the extra omega-3 fatty acids they're storing down there help the baby's brain development. And in related news, Northwest...
already in Mensa.
Has joined Mensa. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's funny. But that's not a legit real butt, so.
No?
No.
It's no, but she does have those childbearing hips, so that's natural.
Okay. Yeah, childbearing hips. Hey, do you ever look at your TV bill and wonder, what the heck? How did this get so expensive? Well, so did our tech guy, and he's got it all figured out. He joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, free of charge. But really, what would you pay? We should look into that, right?
Shall now we? What would you pay?
It's time to talk tech with the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech guy. He knows what he's talking about, Jeremy Anticone. Hi, Jeremy.
What's up, gang? How are you?
Good, 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 good. But you know what? How in the world did our cable TV bill get so expensive? And just TV, never mind the phone and the internet, right?
Wait, can we guess? Can we guess, maybe? You want to guess before we go?
How much is yours?
I don't. It's
too much.
Because it's sports. I think it's sports.
Is it sports? I think I know what it is. I think it's because there are so many cable networks and nobody watches any of them. Still, they're highly profitable because they get a fee per subscriber all over the country from every cable system. Like, for instance, CNN, if they never ran another commercial, they'd still be profitable because they get a fee per subscriber.
Okay, can I take a guess?
Real quick, too,
because I think it's because they're also your internet provider, and we all have to have internet, so there's sort of a monopoly in that direction.
All right, so now, Jeremy, it's your turn. Tell us the real reason.
So that's I think we've got some good suggestions there. But I opened up my DirecTV bill for the first time. My wife typically pays the bills, and it's actually this one's automatically debited from our account. So it's just one of those things that hasn't been on our mind. I'm paying $140 a month just for our TV service.
Wow.
Not even including internet or anything super fancy.
Oof.
$140. What am I paying?
You're getting a lot of channels. Yeah. What are you?
Was that with the DVR?
It is with the DVR, and then they're tagging on a whole house DVR fee and then some other fee and this fee and that fee. I'm just all of a sudden wondering how I'm getting up that high. Well, there's a couple things that have launched recently. One was called Sling TV. We talked about it earlier this year. It's $20 a month, gives you about 17 channels. It's not going to give you everything, but it's giving you a decent lineup. And then HBO has announced today that starting in early April, they are going to be offering a standalone offering, which is $15 a month for all of the HBO channels. So maybe we'll be getting to the point soon where we'll be able to cancel this huge monthly bill and just pick up the stuff that we actually want to watch.
Yeah, or those other offerings will create a downward draft and the big bills will start to get smaller just out of the sake of competition.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to see this, and I hope that this is going to be the start of, you know, even more services going a la carte and letting us really, you know, pick and choose what we want to watch.
Yeah, Jeremy, you're right. I hope you're right. We talked about Hillary Clinton on another program earlier because it's been in the news. She's come under some scrutiny for using personal email when she was Secretary of State, and that could potentially compromise state security. But she's promised to open everything up. But what we didn't know, at least I didn't know this, is not like you and me using Gmail or Yahoo or something like that. It was Hillary Mail. Is that right?
It was Clinton Mail. And so, you know, instead of using the official, you know, @state.gov email address like any other, you know, government official would for official state business, she had her IT team set up their own mail servers, which meant that there was, you know, no government oversight or security that went along with it. They registered the domain at Network Solutions. And then I guess the details are kind of flimsy, but she may have been running this mail server at her house or one of the locations that that she had access to.
Now, explain, Jeremy, when you have your own mail server, you have certain controls over the content and what's stored and what's deleted, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you are using a Gmail account, right, and there's some sort of subpoena for your records, the, you know, whatever agency can go to Google and ask for that data, and it's turned over if it's a lawful request.
And Google's going to keep your data for a long, long, long time, aren't they?
Of course. Yeah. But in this case, because she ran her own mail server, they essentially would have to subpoena her IT admins, whoever is managing the mail server. And it's not the same process with a Freedom of Information request like you can do for, you know, any government information. So there's some speculation that they may not have been turning everything over. And, you know, certainly interesting that she would do this. And a strange email address that I saw, instead of, you know, H. Clinton or, you know, Hillary.Clinton, it was hdr22@clintonemail.com.
Wow, that almost sounds like an old CompuServe email address.
Right?
Sure, I mean, but doesn't that kind of keep it off the radar, though, from people that would be trying to, you know, I'm sure that our government email comes under attack all the time, people trying to get in, but it doesn't this maybe not even show up, so they don't even know where to look?
Well, you know, that is a good point, although hackers did find it fairly quickly. And being that the fact that the domain was registered at Network Solutions, which has been hacked before, you know, if you're able to actually compromise the DNS of a domain, which is essentially how it's looked up, you can completely take it over and send and receive mail as if you were the Secretary of State of the United States.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of questions.
And the hackers, they use brute force for passwords, and they're constantly trying to figure out what the passwords are, and eventually they get in. But, you know, there's so much data used on an email server. If I understand this correctly, your resources could become rather slim. So what do? You go in and you purge everything. You clear out all your inboxes and all
of
that.
Convenient.
Right? Yeah. And so, sure, come on, we'll open everything up to you. Well, Hillary, where is everything? Well,
right.
we got hacked and we had to purge.
Exactly. So, you know, there are compliance, regulations where you have to retain email for a certain period of time for business purposes and so forth. And, you know, if you don't have the U.S. government managing that mail server, you know, accidents can happen. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much further this goes and if it's continues to be a big problem for her.
Yeah. All right. Next topic. Google continues to strive to be all things to all people. What now?
Well, they are jumping into car insurance, of all things. They've just released Google Compare for auto insurance. It's available to California residents. You can submit a single form and get quotes and be able to compare the actual insurance rate across 14 different companies very, very quickly, very easily. And they even give you a little bonus, which is if you want to actually talk to somebody and learn more about it before actually signing up, they'll mask your phone number during that call so that an insurance agent doesn't have your phone number. They can't just be calling you relentlessly after you don't sign up.
You know why they're doing this is because they're putting those driverless cars out there.
That, and of course, they're taking a commission on this. There's a small little footer at the bottom of the page that says Google's making money here.
Yeah.
So right. They've got something like 14 insurance companies, Mercury, MetLife, 21st Century Insurance, though the big ones that you might expect or might want to insure through State Farm, Geico, Progressive, Allstate, those ones are currently not included.
Well, Jeremy, I just have, I mean, let's go down the conspiracy theory highway here. if Google's getting cozy with insurance companies, and people have gotten in way deep in their lives with Google in so many ways that we've just kind of handed over every piece of our personal information. And Google really, through GPS and everything else, knows where we are at all times. And the insurance company would like to know that, too, so that if we say, yeah, we drive 8 miles round trip to and from work every day, and that's about it, maybe a trip to the grocery store here and there, but they can work with their partner, Google, and say, oh, no, this guy drives routinely over state line and puts on a lot of mileage on that vehicle delivering illicit goods to gangsters. So that would be a useful relationship for the insurance companies to have with a company like Google, wouldn't you think?
It sure would, and I have not read through the terms of service that is posted on the Google Compare Auto Insurance page, but there very well could be some sort of disclosure saying that location information could be disclosed to business partners and third parties and so forth. So,
and I'm not exaggerating, am I? I mean, Google does know where we are at all times.
It's kind of scary that even if you've got your location turned off, there are ways that they can determine your general location simply by the IP address that you're requesting from and other data that is not specifically do I allow my location to be shared. So it is a concern and it is yet to be seen as to whether or not they're going to be sharing that information with car insurance companies or whoever else. So it's really important to read those terms of service.
And that's why so many people, when they see the Google Earth car with that spherical camera on top of it, head it in their direction. They unbuckle their pants and flash a vertical smile. Exactly
yes,
right.
Always.
Yes.
Go America.
Jeremy Antecuni, always wonderful to hear from you. We'll talk some more tech next week, okay?
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. You too. Well, now what have we learned? We're screwed. Absolutely.
I'm willing to bet that Google does not offer the hole-in-the-wall cut-rate insurance companies on that list of 14.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. We have more to cover coming up next, including... when you get a cup of coffee, do you get out a spoon of the instant, or do you brew some coffee, or do you use one of those little plastic cups, that one-time-use cups that you it's perfectly measured and you get a cup of coffee? You know what I'm talking about. What are they? They're called K-cups, right? Do
you
use
got
those?
It.
Use those? All right. The guy that invented those has a message for you, and it's an interesting message. You may have seen this coming, maybe not, but you will hear it next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right. I'm an instant coffee guy. I just want a black cup of Joe. And I've compared. I've done the blind test. I've had a cup of instant and a cup of brewed coffee, and a cup from one of the chain places, like a Starbucks or a Pete's, something like that. And I've tasted all three of them. And routinely, the ones from the Starbucks and the Pete's and the others, I just don't like. It ends up being too strong and too bitter. Not a fan of it. And then the brewed stuff, depending on which it is, there's some real good brewed coffees out there. But when I taste the instant coffee, it is consistently good as far as coffee is concerned.
Really? Do they even still have instant coffee?
Sure,
I didn't think
they
it was
do.
Still around.
Yeah.
Really?
They, you can still put the Folgers crystals in your cup and you're fine.
Crystals.
Yeah. It's the richest kind. Anyway, that's another story. But the newfangled way of having coffee is with those K-cups and buying one of those expensive little one cup at a time things, because you think that you're hip and you're cool and everybody else has got them. And some guy invented those K-cups. He's got to be wildly rich. Isn't that right, Greg?
That's not exactly true. The guy that came up with the idea is a guy by the name of John Sylvan. And he recently did an interview and said, this was his quote, "I feel bad sometimes that I ever did it." He feels bad about inventing the thing because it's destroying the earth. Those little single cup things they're totally disposable. They're not recyclable. So they get thrown out and it's just creating more trash and just we're drowning in, among other things, these little K-cups.
Well, why isn't he rich?
He's not rich because he sold the company in 1997 for $50,000.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Green Mountain, who owns
free
it now.
Free and clear? And he didn't say, okay, here's I'll take $50,000 and a penny off of every sale in perpetuity.
Yep, $50,000 and out. And that was it.
Not
and,
a good businessman. Good inventor, bad businessman.
Good inventor, like most guys like that, yeah. So now those Keurig machines and obviously they make the money off these little tiny cups. So if you compare the price of buying a bag of coffee that you throw in your old Mr. Coffee machine and run it through a paper towel to make coffee, like most of us do, right?
Yeah.
Clearly you're paying more for the convenience of these little cups. And he says he's called them up several times and said, hey, I can tell you how to improve it and make it recyclable. And they just hang up on him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Hey, go away. We gave you $50,000.
Right. You got your $50,000. Shut up.
We get it. You're bitter.
Like the coffee.
Like your coffee, yeah.
Talk about wasteful excess. Chris, you have perhaps one of the latest best examples of Americans just doing stuff because they can.
Well, actually, this is not American. This is Finnish.
Oh, it is?
It is. A cafe in Finland.
I apologize to America.
No problem. A cafe in Finland has laid claim to breaking the record for the world's tallest hamburger.
Tallest.
Yeah, it was 16.
Finland?
16. Yeah.
Aren't you?
Do they even have burgers over there?
They shouldn't.
Hamburger?
They
in
shouldn't.
Finland?
They shouldn't.
It was 16 foot tall and 220 pounds, so this thing was a monster.
That wasn't a reindeer burger, was it? Because they eat the reindeer there in Finland.
No, they all beef patties.
Okay.
How about this, though? For $2,200, customers were invited in and allowed to take a bite of the burger.
Tasty?
Or no, they said it tasted terrible. All the ingredients were stacked on this metal rod in the middle of this pedestal.
Yeah.
And so the group ended up just giving it to the local animal shelter and let the dogs eat it.
Great.
Just proves Finland cannot create a quality hamburger of gigantic size.
It should have been done by Americans. Instead, they concocted a big pedestal sample.
Well, the greatest part, too, is the people that did choose to come in and take a bite out of it, they ended up having to use one of those mechanical lifts to be able to find spots that were unbitten.
I'm looking at our show fun page, and apparently Web Munchkins got word of this enormous burger, and they've posted it on the website, on the show fun page.
Wow.
It doesn't even look tasty.
So you ride up on a forklift to find a place that hasn't already been bitten into.
Into a burger. Yeah.
You bring your magnifying glass to make sure there isn't spittle from the last bite.
You on one side, your girlfriend on the other, snap a photo, frame it.
Oh, it's like Lady and the Tramp with the spaghetti.
You know, they've got weird customs and laws in other countries, and we're talking about Finland. And you probably don't want to get a speeding ticket if you are wealthy.
No.
In
you
Finland.
Live in Finland and you speed, you're in trouble if you make a lot of money. A guy was actually pulled over for traveling 14 miles per hour over the posted speed limit, and the ticket he got was $60,000 because your citations are based on how much money you make. And so they will look up your tax return and base your ticket on your tax return. And that way, people who of all different incomes feel the same pain for breaking the law. That's what they say.
So $60,000 would be, if I got that ticket, they'd charge me $6, right?
Yes, they want to make it fair for everybody, so yeah. It's a sliding scale system.
Last hour, we talked with Albert Podell. He was the guy who traveled the world in 50 years, saw every single country, and talked about the different things that he's eaten. And he had a particularly fond memory of the flavor of rats. And perhaps you better eat them all before they get us, Greg, because what's back in a bad way?
Oh, yeah, you thought the measles was bad. Let's bring on the plague.
Yeah.
The plague is coming back. Your chance to come down with an amazing set of festering boils, everybody. There are three things needed for us to get the plague happening here again in America. That's a carrier, a transmitter, and a pathogen. And right now, New York City has 2 out of 3 ready to bring the plague back.
Wow.
Yes, I'm so excited about this.
I know. I feel bad that I didn't introduce this story by saying, tell us what we've won, Greg.
That's right. It's your chance to enjoy festering boils and then death. Who wants to sign up for the plague?
Oh, goodness.
I feel like I just made it to the bonus round.
Yeah, there's something about oriental rat fleas, which are on the rise. So these are fleas that live on the rats that spread the plague. So, I guess now it's just down to transmitter pathogen. I don't know. I have to read the rest of it. But all I know is
should we hurry up and eat them?
Yeah, I say it's best.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Good. Well, they taste like, what did he say, firm chicken?
Yes. And they taste like where they live, which I've been thinking about that the whole show. I'm like, what if it lives in like a manure?
Sewer.
Like sewer.
Yeah.
Field?
Yeah.
That's the New York. That's the New York subway system you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. You don't want that rat.
Yeah.
You want a really sweet Hawaiian rat that just, you know, lives out in
not a rat that lives in a big stinky tunnel.
No.
Speaking of tunnels, remember we were talking about a week ago about that long, where was that tunnel, Chris?
It's in Toronto, Canada, and it's over next to York University and also next to the complex that this summer's Pan Am Games will be held.
Just an enormous, elaborate, and luxurious tunnel that somebody built, and it was pretty long. How long?
It was like 10 foot long, and it was like 6 feet wide and 6 feet tall. It was very elaborate, and it was held up by shoring, and there was a whisper quiet generator in there to provide power and lights and all of that.
Yeah.
Aaron gave us that story and described
Ten feet doesn't qualify as a tunnel. It was only 10 feet long?
Maybe it was longer than that. I don't have the exact dimensions.
10 feet is just
a little longer.
10 feet's a pathway.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a little longer.
Or it's a stoop in your door. What would you call that? It's just a from here to there. Okay, I'm in this room, now I'm in that room. That's not a tunnel.
Yeah, but you know what it is?
What is it?
A man cave.
That's what it was?
And apparently that's what was being built down there. That is why the story is being reborn, not because necessarily the size of the tunnel, but because the fact that the police found out that it was just a couple of 20-year-old guys digging a man cave in the ground. Police have actually closed the case and are quoted in saying it was just two guys who really wanted to dig a cave and hang out.
Not terrorists.
That's pretty much the end of it.
Dig a cave and hang out.
Here's
can
how
we
they
get
were
cable in here? Come on, how are we going to watch the game?
They were trying everything they could. They were carrying an air conditioner down there. They were caught because the owner of a construction company recognized some of his equipment on the TV that he had lent to one of his employees. Called it into the police department, and there you go.
Yeah.
Cuff them and stuff them, but the police say no criminal intent. These guys were very apologetic. They just let them go.
All right, we'd like to end the program on a warm-hearted note, and according to a new study, a lot of us smell our hands after a handshake.
No.
And don't even realize we're doing it. We're trying to sniff out chemical messages from the other person, believe it or not, like whether their pheromones are compatible with ours and whether they're carrying a disease. So,
I don't think we do this. I think somebody's just making this up.
I think we is the wrong word to use there. Yeah.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at Faf Show. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Nick Wright. Theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.